Grace us, Heavenly Father. Thank you for today once again, Lord. We thank you, Father. We are living in challenging time. Even today, Father, with this nice, cool, rainy weather, rains are pouring outside. We know, Lord, there's always a challenge for your people to come together for themselves to fellowship. Lord, it is that our kind of thinking, Lord, that after time, we just want to let this body have its desire. Just to stay home and dry ourselves, not going out in this rain. And we know, Lord, whenever there is things like this that put us in a situation of doing what is right, we choose, O Lord, not to take the challenge. Hear you the song that we just sung, Lord. All things are ready. Come to the feast. But Lord, we know many prefer, O Lord, not to. They don't have the desire to eat of thy word and to drink of thy spirit. We know, Lord, we're living in critical times like this and things that we see in the world today. What is happening? May, Lord, we come to that revelation understanding that the time is really, really short. And the Lord, if we are children of light, then we should be walking in the light. And be very mindful, O Father, of the step that we take as we walk in that light, Father. Not to have a misstep and step out of the light into darkness. Father, we ask for your grace then, Lord, as you approach thy word, open our hearts, Father, to understand some of the important things, O Lord, that your Apostle Paul, your servant that thou hast set forth, O Lord, about 2,000 years ago, to put forth the revelation, his feeling, and all the true sincerity pouring out from his heart, Father, to put it across to thy saints of those days. And the epistles that is right here, Father, in the sacred word, in the sacred scripture, is still very, very valid for us today. We thank you, Lord. We ask for the blessing now. Enlighten us, O Lord, to thy holy word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Every day, when you turn to your newspaper or you watch the news on whatever channel, there's no good news. What do you see today or yesterday? I was just looking at what Trump was saying when he was president. Let's make America great again, right? Today's paper, I think, was it yesterday? He said, save America. No, why not make America great again, but let us save America. What happened? You see, what happened in America is this, that there is no way that you can save America anymore. We're living in a situation already since 1963 or 65, somewhere around that period. And Brother Graham said, I'm not going to pray for America anymore. She's finished. That is true. The Bible prophesied about it. And I expect it to go down. What do you have? I was very upset when I saw the paper a week ago. What? The Fed is going to raise the rate?
Huh? The Federal Reserve, you know, they're going to raise the rate. And then when I turn into to look at what is our exchange rate, 1.41, and yesterday, 2 days ago, 1.42. They have gone up 16%, but our Singapore dollar is still remaining, backing it up strongly, putting only at 5%. When I look at the 16%, I was thinking, even before that, I look into the article and find out how much have they traveled, how much have they raised up. Because when I heard that they are going to raise it, I said, my goodness, are they going to raise up to 1.7 Singapore dollar? And that's going to crash. So when I check it up, 16% raised up against all the other currencies, Singapore holding down by 5%. If not, we would have been 1.5, 1.6 something already. Yeah, and Brother Clemmer is going to America on a trip. Who else is traveling? I mean, for those who are in the Philippines, you have a better exchange rate on because of that crazy nonsense. Huh? So you're going to go up and go up. What happened is that balloon is going to burst. And then there'll be a lot of problems. And that's why in America there's a lot of uncertainty going on right now. And then we have this rain in so many countries, the flooding, how many deaths, and then we have typhoon, we have desert tsunami, and all that thing that is going on. Last yesterday was another earthquake in Sumatra. Yeah? And typhoon over in Japan, and they are waiting for the big earthquake to come. And I think Philippines also is going to get an earthquake pretty soon. And I think a lot of people who live in Manila, they are very, very worried. Because right there is a fault line in the city of Manila. Yeah? In Africa, the problem is out there. The droughts, the fighting. And then over in the European Union, they're fighting among themselves. Do you know they're fighting among themselves? The Bible talks about 10 horns. They're going to break up. Of course, there are more than just 10. But they're going to break up here and there until there are 10 and that 5 strong and 5 weak ones. Right. And what do you read in the paper also? UK. Wow. They have a lot of STD. And the increase. You know what the STD is? Sexually transmitted disease. Highest in the world, I can tell you that. England! God save the Queen. You see, the whole thing is that the Bible is telling us we're on the verge of the end. The beast, the two beasts already are moving around doing that. And the first beast is very quiet for the moment. But the beast that is right there, I mean the woman is very quiet for the moment, but the beast, the first beast, is all that noise going on right there in Europe. And then the second beast is the one that's trying to control the world, manipulating here. And now we have China-America issue. Right? And the Chinese government is telling America, please don't play with fire. I think who are the 1 year, whoever talking to Blinken. You see, that problem we are having here at any time. That's why I believe that we are not far from home. You probably have 2 years to see something that's going to happen. It cannot last. This world cannot last. I'm just looking for the coming of the Lord. And each day when I look into the word of the Lord and meditate on it, I just rejoice. And I think that we are dealing with this book of Philippians on a contentment and joy. I learned a lot of things. Why? I mean, I preached this in the 80s. But you know, when you go through again, you look at it again, examine it a little more carefully. There are things that Paul said. Oh, just like the Bible in many places, the way it was written, But the Holy Spirit, through this anointed man, has the Holy Spirit impressed His word onto paper.
There's a lot of figure of speech expression that is interesting that many people don't see it. It is hidden in such a way from the eyes of the foolish.
So let us go over and let's leave where we left off in chapter 3. But let us go through quickly from chapter 1 again, because we are going back and forth about Paul's relationship with the Philippian believers. I really like this book because Paul is just opening up himself, to his feelings. And while he was in such a situation, he was opening up himself to the believers. So he said in chapter 1 and verse 19 here, "And I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel." I always remember this. Timothy was very close to Paul. And from what we read here, verse 20, you can see that he said that he has a son with the Father. As I said this, Timothy was not working for Paul. He was working for God. You understand? He was in the service of God like Paul was. When he was helping Paul, he was trying to strengthen up Paul. Encouragement, helping while he was in this sorrowful and painful state, so that Paul could recover, make him comfortable, knowing that he was serving God. And then, going on right now in verse 23, "Him therefore I hope to send you presents so soon as I see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself will come shortly. Yet I suppose it's necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold him, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your life of service toward me." Two young men, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And I pray that maybe out of the congregation here, young men here will be like Timothy and Epaphroditus. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, I think, when you are in the days of your youth, serve the Lord. Because when you grow old, you can't serve much, because you are getting old. And that's why when the time when I was a Christian, I really served the Lord when I was young, because I wanted to serve the Lord, because I had that energy. But when you're getting older, your body strength is not longer there. So here was this man, young man, Epaphroditus. He didn't expect that the church in Philippi knew that he was sick. And so when he found out they knew about it, you know, his heart longed to go back to them. He just wanted to go back to them to let them know that he's okay. Even though he was nigh to death. Do you understand the feeling? Because here is why I talk about the bond. The message I preach about bond. What are you bond to? Are you bond to the Word of God? Are you bond to Christ? What are you bond to? Are you bond to your family? Your spouse, your children, your father, your grandfather? Or bond to your career? Your friend? Here, these two young men, they have this bond in the Word of God. And the most important bond that we should have is the agape. You know, the basic thing that we need of is salvation. And when we have salvation, we know the Lord. We know what He did for us. As Paul said, I'm no longer mine. I'm a prisoner of Christ. I'm no longer my own. I'm His prisoner. What is a prisoner? You know, in some country, you're a criminal. When they're caught on the street or a robber, whatever, they put a handcuff on him. Alright, and sometimes they hold it, tie it to a policeman, right? Or start bringing it to a crime scene also, make sure that he don't run. So he become a police, he become bound to the policeman by that handcuff. So, when we talk about this, it's bond means that you are a prisoner, you cannot do anything. You belong to Christ, you no longer belong to anybody else. Here I want to say this. Here, Paul said this in verse 28. I send him therefore the more carefully that when you see him, you may rejoice that I may be the last sorrowful. I said this one thing, the word rejoice comes from the word joy. But you cannot rejoice until you first have joy. And I always have to use it as a acronym. Here in Singapore, you know, whenever you go on the highway or even you go on the radio broadcast and podcast, FM 94, something like that, they will tell you about the weather and the traffic jam. You know, it says that there is an accident, there's a traffic jam on the KPE to the KJE to VIE on the way to CTE, and all this. You call it a cleaning, am I not right? So joy. You cannot rejoice unless you have joy. So what is joy? I always say this one thing. Think of this. Three letters. Joy. Jehovah. Yes, Jesus. First. Secondly, think of others. Who is this others? Not your family. I always maintain this position of mind. Others refer to anybody outside of your born in the home. Outside. No, brother again. Charity begins at home. Remember, hear me say this many often. There will people come to church, choke for me. You know, take the place where the place is reserved. And you come with your family, you want to all sit together. No, that belongs to my son. Sit here, my son is sitting here. What is that? Your firstborn is because not your wife, not your husband, not your son, not your father, not your friend, not anybody else. I'm saying this very truthfully. If you only have seen what's going on in other countries, the article they have read, those who are willing to die for Christ. That if someone who is fanatic, who is against Christ, against Christian, comes into your house and took your wife and your children with a knife on their throat, ask them to recant. Ask you to recant of your faith in Christ. What would you do? What would you do? Think about this. If they come to my home and hold a knife at the throat of my son, recant of your faith in Jesus, and I let your son live. What would I do? I have to make a decision, right? I'll tell the men,
now look at my son. I see you in the morning.
Slice the fruit. Do I rejoice or do I feel sad? Death is a step. I want to tell you this. There are a lot of people that fear death, Christians. They're so fearful of death. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Have you ever imagined when you read those who are martyred by fanatics? Very rare. Top books of martyrs. Read. You think about the whole family being taken to the arena, father, mother, grandfather, and the children. They set the lion out, and the lion comes running. Tell you, but you're trying to protect the young one, obviously. The lion come and tell you, throw you out. They're throwing out there, what would you do? No, we're not Christian, please. No, we're not Christian. The moment you deny Christ, he'll deny you. Death is just only one doorway. It's only a door to eternal life. Yes. Death is just open up and you enter the light of life. You know, nobody wants to die. That's, you know what, that's what they say in the songs. Everyone goes to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Yeah, we are fortunate we live in Singapore. I was thinking many times, says, how am I born a Chinese in Singapore? What would happen if I was born an African in Sudan? In Somalia. There are people that are attacking Christians. Or even in part of Indians in India. Where Christian communities are being attacked by fanatic Hindu or fanatic Muslim. What will happen? And yet many of these Indian Christians out there being beaten up daily, humiliated by those who hate them. In Sudan, in Somalia. What would you do? The song we sang many a time, God on the mountain. Right? Yeah, we talk of faith when we are up on the mountain. Huh? It's easy to talk about it. But when we are put in the valley, I mean, this affects our life, nobody wants to hear it. But it's time that we hear it. Because we're going to face something big that is to come. I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, but we are living in Singapore, and it's secure. Yeah, it may be secure, but there are other trials that will come upon individual. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have trials and trials and a lot of trials. Now this is a big trial for me. What's in me is a big trial. But I don't just sit and die. No. I will preach until the day the Lord takes me home. Because that's the only way to go. And Paul was rejoicing on that. So, Jesus was others outside of you. Charity do not begin at home. Do not begin at home. Will you share? In the 70 AD when Jerusalem was trodden down by the Roman soldiers. Huh? For days into weeks into months. What happened in that city when food runs out? What happened in the city? There are cannibalism. Family eat their baby, they die. They eat the baby. And when they never found out they have food eating the baby, they have problem with them. They'll say, why don't you give us some? Sure, you keep the soul of the family, eat your own. Would you share? Or when you are in a state where your family are together with another family and you have the food, will you share with the rest? Or you just say, no, I'm going to give this to my children first because charity begins at home. Let me tell you this. I was thinking will die. Sooner or later, we have to die and come at the judgment. That's what joy is all about. Jesus, others, and lastly, yourself. Think yourself as last. When you have food, and you are really in love with God, you give to everybody else first. And you will eat what is left over when there's nothing. Hard to do. But testing time will prove what you're worth. There are many Christians that die, they live a good life because they live in Singapore. Let's say there are those who have been in Singapore just after the war, live a very wonderful life, and then they die peacefully, nicely. No problem. Good, isn't it? Or those in America after the Second World War, they have lived all the years. They live 100 plus years and then they die peacefully. No pain, nothing. And they are Christians. Wow, what a blessing. Well, what about the characters in the Bible? The apostles, the saints of old, they don't have that privilege. The Bible tells us, they set the example for us. Huh? They set the example for us. They left the footprint on the sand of time for us. The prophet, the apostles, the saints of old. Yes. That's why some of the people, some Christian children do not believe in the rapture. They say, what's so special about us if we go in the rapture? When there are millions of Christians before us, they face death, tribulation, and persecution, and that horrible death. So what's so special for us? They will be whisked away. See what I'm talking about? But the word will prove us to tell us one thing. If we are not made ready, God wants us to make ready. The different stages of time in the past generation of the grace age, God is laying a foundation. God sent them. Remember the four horsemen? And remember the four beasts around the throne? What was the first one? The lion. Huh? What was the second one? The ox. God took those Christians and sent them to persecution. They died horrible death. And God sent a reformation, the man, to bring us out to light, to make us to see. And now we come to the eager age. So that we should fly higher to become able to see the revelation, to be prepared. God had laid the foundation. And yes, the foundation. A lot of sacrifices. The biggest foundation that we ever have, the only one that we need, was Christ. That was the biggest foundation. What did He do? Did He come to be served? He came to serve. And said that was His joy. His joy to get the food out, to talk, to preach the gospel. Right? And yet when you know that He's going to face death, there was a time of His trial. Nobody wants to die. And that's why He prayed three times. God didn't speak. He said, then your will be done. If there's no other way, then your will be done. If there's no other way for your son, my son to be cut, have his throat slashed by fanatics, then God's will be done. Because you can do a thing. Because you never know, fanatic will lie to you. I said, we came. And then you came, he killed yourself. He cut off the throat of my son, and then come after me and cut me off too. Right, then when we found not dying, find myself denying God, denying the very Savior who saved me. Yeah. Paul lays out in the Bible, the word is there for us, but Paul said, his sickness, his pain is nothing. Because he joy and he rejoiced. What is this so much joy? The joy of the Lord is your strength. But where do you get the joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? But where do you get the joy? It's not the pain. It's the word. God is love. God is agape. The word is love. All you need is that word. Wonderful words of life. And if you can see this word in all its beauty, you shouldn't be afraid. Shouldn't be afraid. Whatever may come our way. Do you understand that? Now when I talk about this bond, I always remember my life in this ministry. You know, in the early years, when we came to the message, starting in the 70s to the 80s, and then even until all the way here, there's always an ups and downs in this fellowship, as I said this many times. But I always remember why some believer have this bond that cannot, you know, be placed in the right way. And correctly, I would say, putting J-O-Y. There were some 30 years ago or more now. It was so sad. You know, we were having fellowship in the home. We were just a small group. I think less than 20 or so. Small group. So we fellowship in the home. So on weekdays, we move from place to place, right? So that we can have, you know, give everybody else a chance that they don't travel far. But what happened was that there was a time when we were fellowshipping, we were going to start fellowshipping in the brother's home. Permission was given, I said, you go. So when I arrived there at the door, the wife came to me. And I was shocked by what was asked of me. Brother Gunn, when? How long are you going to be here in this my house? I was taken aback. I said, you ask the husband. You know? So what happened was then that the following week, the husband came to me and said, but again, I want to tell you this. You think so much of your apostolic ministry that you don't think about the local church. Remember, charity begins at home. I said, what are you getting at? We need to run a place to fellowship. It's wrong for us to fellowship in the HTV home. Because against the government ruling. And at that time, of course, there's a lot of cases where people's home open up for Chinese temple. People just go into the home and anytime they want and they pray and create a lot of things and they burn incense. But I mean, I said, the government was again making a home as a temple or the church. You mean to say, you know what the church, open church is? You can go to church anytime, right? A building is open. You understand what I mean? You can go to a church that is a building. When you go down there, nobody, there's no service, you can go down there and pray. Am I not right? You know what I'm talking about? A temple, a church, a mosque. You can go anytime. I said, but we gather only on Sunday just to have Bible study here. What's on? Is government against it? I said, no. I asked him, I asked him the question. I said, I give the answer. I said, no, it's not. If the government is against for us to have fellowship in the home, that means today we wouldn't have house fellowship. You see, and I told him, I said, we are a small group. We are needing this money to print the books, to send it out, and that costs all our money. For the sake of that money. But after that, never seen him come back. The wife was having come back. But just several years ago, back then, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, met the wife in the mall. She came up to me and said, you said, was it my fault that my husband left the church? I said, yes. I said, you know that. You see, the problem is this. There's no way you can escape. And now their relationship has already been strained. Put God first, and you will see what God will do to your life. If you put your wife first, your children first, you will have different consequences. Because what? When I go to heaven, my son go to heaven, he is not the grandson of our Heavenly Father. Because God has no grandson. In heaven, he will be known as my brother. Your wife, your husband will be known as brother and sister. Do you understand? There's no such thing. Get children. There's no such thing. And when you young people that go, you know, more like Elijah, like Hannah, when you are already a believer, when you're transformed, you don't look like this. You're going to be a normal adult woman or man. Remember that vision that Brother Brown had about his daughter? That Brother Brown didn't recognize her because she was a child when she died. You see? So we need to get our perspective right. In the other dimension of where we go, everything will be different. Here, it's only a temporary thing. And Paul can rejoice in this. Do you understand now? Chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, it is not grievous. But for you, it is safe. Yeah, I'm in this situation. I'm in prison. I'm in pain, all these things. To write all these, you know, issues of pain and what Timothy went through, what Epaphroditus went through, well, it's not painful for me. You know, when I was at home, and WhatsApp coming in asking me this, and email asking me this, they asked me about my health, I liked it. Just simply telling them what is, if they know what I'm suffering from, and I tell them, they know about it. There's no grief. There's nothing painful. And they say, brother, we need your ministry. And a brother, Levon. You know, he's in Tennessee. He was. Oh, he is an ex Armstrongism believer. You know, Herbert Armstrong? For years. He thought it was the truth, he said. I think his testimony is on our website. He said, when he came across my website, and he said, oh, this is true, this makes sense, okay. Then he corresponded with me on and off over the period of the last few years. Then he heard me that I have this. So, Brother Graham, I love the big Celtic worldwide Church of God of the Philadelphia, now it is called. And I came to this truth and the whole year as my pastor, now you're going. You know, so that's not right. And I understand that feeling because you got out of that system. You got out of all the mess nonsense. And you now see the truth. And then you got nobody to guide you. He got nobody to guide him. And so he looked to me as his pastor. And sometimes we text, sometimes we talk a little. And for him to feel, to see something, I'm gone. Oh, who else will he turn to? There are other sisters and other brothers telling me the same. He said, Brother Dan, we need you. And I said, yes, I have brought that out to the Lord. I said, Father, you know, they need me. And I'm waiting for you to touch me. Because I'm not going until everything is finished, we go out together. Sister Bree said, Brother Gang, I'm just waiting for you to get out of the problem and we go together. You know what? I'm not too worried. about what the will of God be.
Huh?
But I'm worried, I'm just feeling sad, because if I go, wow, the church, as Paul said, you know, for him to go is good.
Huh?
Or for him to stay is better, for your sake. You know, God made me to sit down many times. I would say in the night, when the pain came, I cannot lie down, I could get up and sit. And I had a good conversation. And I went back all the years of the ministry. And the pain that I've been through, very quietly, hardly tell anybody. And if I were to recount what I suffered through in traveling in all those countries, sleeping in all those bad hotel rooms and so-called hotels, the dusty places and all, I said, no, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm happy, I'm not complaining. Because I left it into his hand, the brother in Africa, I brought James Verimore. First time he called me, brother, can come. I didn't tell him, say, book me in a hotel, you know, this and that. I didn't even bother. I said, well, you find me a lodging, whatever. So he took me to the brother's home. Remember, I told you about the big spider hanging on the ceiling and all that stuff. I mean, he brought me there. I got there. And I came to know one thing. God was testing me. And you know what Brother James told me? He said this, I'll never find a man that is humble. They don't mind where we put him. What if I were to go into the home and saw the spider? Hey, no, today is not the place for me. I need to go to a hotel. No. And the brother brought me to Nigeria and that, why? A hotel so called on the roadside with dogs, and the next door is just a slaughterhouse. And the bed was filled with the blood dropping in one hole. What? There's no other place. I didn't go. I went in. I just didn't bother. Just take the bed sheet cover, all the dust on it, and fold it up, put it on the side. And I put my sarong, you know. One day, I could sleep on it. And that was for several days of meetings, which is nearby. Of course, the brother and our other brother were so unhappy. He said, who is that person who put Brother Gunn in there? And they apologized to me. They said, what's the good, brother? You know, the thing is that we, I said this, able minister of God should adapt the environment. We cannot go to a country and stay in a five-star hotel and boast about it and say, I've been to so many countries in the world. I can do that. Take a flight, go to the airport, have a hotel nearby, near the airport, or in the city, which is near to the airport. Book in there, call the people to come into a seminar room. And I speak a few words in one or two days then, and fly to another nation. Nuh-uh. That isn't an apostle. An apostle suffered for the Lord. I look at all the apostles in the Bible, I see they suffered for the Lord. I see their prophets, they suffered for the Lord. Yeah. Even when the Lord called me back then, and when the ministry starts, God was preparing me that this body is going to take it. And I don't even realize that I could take it. And I took it. All these many years. Now that I have these things, I rejoice, knowing that I have done what I should have done already. Not complaining. You won't see Brother Gunn always having, you know, Brother Gunn suffered or you have pain, he always showed a long face. No, sir. I will walk in the light of God's word. I will do what it should be. And as Paul said here, it's not grievous for me to write to you this letter. But it is what he says here. But for you, it is safe, it is secure. To help you understand where you stand. that you are in the hands of God. I want you to know, Paul is going to tell them that there are all kinds of people out there who are false teaching, people are trying to harm you. I want you to know that. Let's go on and see what he says next. Beware of gods. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concession. Beware of dogs. I mean, remember Paul, he was a Jew. He was telling them, beware of dogs. You know where the dogs are? You know where the dogs are found? Matthew 15:26. You know in the Bible, dog is considered unclean. 15 verse 26. Here we have this case of a Canaanite woman's faith. Remember, she came up to Jesus Christ and asked her to heal her. And verse 25, she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And Jesus answered and said, it is not meet to meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, true, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Wow, what a faith this woman had. You know, she came to the Lord, and I believe when she came to the Lord, she came humble. She said, Lord, help me. Well, this is where she was tested. And that's why sometimes we don't realize, we read events that are recorded down like this, but never realize many times it actually took place in our life in small little things. Lord, help me. And Jesus said, you know, it is not right for me to take the food of the children, which is referring, of course, you know, what is given to the children of Israel, and cast it to the dogs. Oh, wow. You know, just think about it. If you were called a dog, I mean, everybody knows the kind of a language in those days. Dogs are unclean. Even today, the Muslims, they cannot touch dogs. They consider unclean. The Jews don't even touch dog even today. It's considered unclean. So you're calling me a dog? Wow. I don't know if somebody will, if it's not a Canaanite woman with a feel like that, knowing what, not recognizing who Christ was, she will say, wait a minute, you're calling me a dog? I forget it. And walk off. And she said, truth. Our truth. Yes. I'm a dog. Even the dog eat from the master's table, under the master's table, the crumb that is left there. So, what she is saying to Jimmy, just give me whatever crumbs that you have. Something that you perhaps don't need it, drop on the table, brush it onto the floor, I will pick it up. That's what you call humility. Not going around. That's why I see some preachers today, and time message, they all copied it from the charismatic. They wanted to be big somebody out there in India. Brother Kudip sent me in the video I told you about. I said, who is this man? He said, Braga, he's the number one enemy in India. He's speaking against you all the time. And I saw one video that he sent me again. Wow, when is your church for a meeting? That pastor was walking on palm leaves. The member of the church, they cut down palm leaves and left before him by what happened in the days when Jesus Christ went to the temple. Why? Because I said, brother, what did you say? He said, because, but again, he said that his face is in the cloud of 1963. Remember the cloud, Brother Bahamas, the cloud issue thing? His face is in the cloud. And the people just believe. And I said this many times, do not be religious.
And in India, the people are very religious. In the Philippines, the same thing. In Singapore, no, the people are not that religious. The people are all thinking about how to be a millionaire. Making money and earning this and that. Every society are different, right? And you know, there's a lot of Christians today, yes, in Singapore. But many of them are not really having real faith. They are only there if they want to go to heaven. But they don't want to die to self. That's what it is. When times are good, I'm a Christian. When times are bad, no. Hello? Think about what's going on. I just couldn't believe. And yet in Congo, Baruti, famous man. I went there, as I told you this one time in Kinshasa. Brother Nash was with me. We were there in a restaurant to eat. And he came in the car, with two cars. Bodyguards came to a restaurant and then the restaurant closed. Nobody else, me, Brother Nice, him and his bodyguards. He came there to confront me. Wow. And I just posed him a question and he couldn't answer it. You know, he think that I was preaching nonsense. He was a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine. Even today I said, if you were on an island, if you did something wrong, the government put you on an island all by yourself. But the government is so good that they give you one or two choices. Either you take the Bible or the books of Brother Abraham. What would you take? Simple question. You look at me. I'm not in the situation so that I don't have to choose. You see how smart they are? I said, let's suppose that you are in that situation. No, I'm not in that situation. So I don't have to choose. So I said, I know your answer, man. What do you want? It's the book of Brennan. Now, later on, that was many years ago. And only a few years back, he claimed that Billy Paul, that he went to Jeffersonville, Graham Tamanico, to the office. Billy Paul told him that what God gave to Brother Abraham, that gift, is now given to you. He preached after his church and people out in Africa. And this was found out, and I think Brother Billy Paul put out a letter. This was a lie. People were lying. People were lying to be somebody. The charismatic especially, they lie a lot. And so I'm telling you, Sister Lucy, how the Holy Spirit took me in a vision. No, took me in the spirit. I went to hell. I see this, I see that. Don't believe it. 1% of it. A lot of exaggeration. When their life is just nonsense, when they preach all that nonsense, I've been to heaven. I saw Jesus Christ sitting in the throne. And the Father was on his left side. You know, the Father and the Son is always on the right side, right? The right hand, remember? So the Father there and the Son there. Think about it. And when Jesus Christ was putting his hand on the throne, when he moved his little finger, something happened. Whoa. I can tell you, people have all kinds of imagination. I tell you this. You know, when I see all this, remember I told you about the man who said he walked the streets to go, went with his mansion, just at the way he wanted it. That's a bit of the lie. People have the guts to lie because they don't care. They want to have good life on the earth, be popular, get what they have. A big mansion, they have the money that goes in. And they have a nice food every day. Until the moment they are going to die, say, God forgive me. Really? Is that true repentance? That's why I said, when we are Christian, true repentance, when the moment you did something wrong, you realize you're wrong, you better quickly go down on your knees and ask God for forgiveness. Don't wait until the day you die. Then the last minute you think that you will be like the thief on the cross. It isn't the same. Because that is a sinner. Huh? And if you are a Christian,
You already know the truth for all these many years. And now then when you can live all your rotten life, and then you want to confess your sin at the last moment, and you hopefully thinking that you can get it, because God is full of mercy, God is full of grace. People making God's grace a disgrace. If you have grace, live the life. Don't make it a disgrace. Be one of dogs. Let's go to another verse. Galatians 5:15. For you bite and devour one another. Take heed you be not consumed of one another. And this is what actually happened in the end time message people. There's so much going on that preacher fighting against another preacher. But this is what's going on right now. Something that I came to know because Brother Coladi sent me a link and I could not believe what I read. It's a very long article. Yeah, but let us continue first. Galatians 5:2. Just read some of those verses. Behold, I Paul say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Okay, we are not about this circumcision. I will come to that later. Revelation 22:50. This is all words that we know of verses. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I think this is a very interesting verse. Huh? You see, the book of Revelation, this is the last part. When you talk about the holy city, New Jerusalem, it came down from heaven. And the angel told John, without, it means outside, are dogs. They cast out. Sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters. You know what idolater is, right? There are people who idolize Brother Branham. That's idolater as well. And whosoever love maketh a lie. Yep. People tell lies like drinking water. I'm drinking water now, I'm not telling a lie. They tell lies of nothing. I have it. I told the minister face to face in Singapore, in America, out there in the Philippines, even out there in Africa. You know, you come to say, let us be, I told them, let us be sincere. I think sincerity is not easily found in people's life at all. That's why God made me to realize the first time I came to the message that the testimony of Barabbas about the angel that told him he will be sincere. That's how he thinks. And yet today, Barabbas has been accused of lying in many ways. You know. So remember this. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. What we know about evil workers, you know who they are. Right. Beware of concision. You know what concision is? A very interesting word. If you were to, I was wondering, how is this word used? Because if you go look into a dictionary, when you find this word, you type in the dictionary, it will show you concision, conscience. Because nobody used the word concision. Nobody used the word concision today. Okay, for example, I said, the article that you wrote is, I would say, is very concise, right? Regarding the pro and cons about this. Huh? I would not say, in using this word concision, how would I use it? The concision of your article about the pro and con of this, blah, blah, blah. Now, nobody used the word at all. I have never seen anybody use the word Right? But how did it appear in the Bible? Concession means, in King English, it means concise, but there's another meaning.
Archaic word.
And this book is the Bible of King James. It's in King James time.
Archaic word.
So concession, very interesting. Why did the one use the word concession? It means to cut. But more than that, in some Bible it translates, you put the word mutilation. And then you look into the Greek word, there's a play of word here. I like it. That's why the Bible always has a play of words. Remember what how did Jesus come when he said, did not the law said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife? Right? Correct? But I say unto you, when you see a woman, you lust after her, you already commit that. Thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, you look upon a person and you hate her, you already kill. That is stretching. Okay? Wow. You're stretching the truth. Jesus Christ is really stretching the truth. And the song said that stretching the truth is telling a lie. Got it? You know what I'm saying? When you tell a person, did you do this? Then you start stretching the truth. But stretching the truth is telling a lie. But was Jesus Christ telling a lie? No. He was reflecting on what is the law and what is to be applied in the human spiritual life, in our spiritual life or in the thoughts. You don't have to kill somebody. You just look at that. I'm looking at Sister Eunice now with daggers in my eye. No, I mean, do you know what I'm saying? You already, I already have hit at her already. You know that thing. That's what that sort of thing. If you don't find peace inside here, your inside is going to be ravished by all that feeling. Human beings are like that. We destroy ourselves because of our emotion, the homo. Huh? You know what I mean? When you get angry, you know what people do when you get angry? Oh, the thing that is built up, I tell you, you're on fire, everything. Everything goes wrong inside. You eat into you. And so one of the things about us is that we need to, that's what the Bible talks about, meditation. Would that be any virtue? Think on those things. It's so easy to do. Meditate upon the Word of God. And I found, I read an article that one Christian man who had cancer, you know what he meditated? He meditated upon all the prayers that she taught him. He meditated upon the Bible. He meditated. And he feels good. And when he said he's good, he said the tumor cannot survive because it's too good. Because the body is so good that it has to. The body can heal itself. And that's the thing about it. If we are spiritual men, the Bible said, have the mind of Christ. Do we have the mind of Christ? We walk around, we say we have the mind of Christ, we are Christian. And then somebody getting, you know, being bad against you and he's arguing, we have a fight with you. Then you get upset. Then you tell your brother, I want to give a peace on my mind, you know. Why would you want to give you a peace of your mind if your mind is the mind of Christ? So, when somebody did something wrong and a guy is upset with you or something, whatever, whose fault ever it doesn't matter. So, sorry, I'm sorry. I always first apologize when somebody banged me, I'm sorry. Because I didn't even see from behind, walk past me, and I'll go this way, go this way. Sorry. That's the first thing you say, okay, sorry, just be at peace. If he says something to you, say, you're a liar, what? I'm a liar, you're a liar. And then you start to argue, and then what happened? You are not at peace. And that's one of the things I've learned that the Bible has taught us all these years. That is supposed to make us better. Christian understanding the Word of God. Concession. It comes from the Greek word, katatomi. Katatomi. Think about the word katatomi. And then here Paul then, in the next verse, two verses, he said this, next verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. So now here, Paul is talking about there of this. Now beware of the concision. That is the way of the circumcision. So, beware of the concision. Love the circumcision. You know what I mean? The circumcision, the concision. It's a play of Greek word. The Greek word for circumcision is peritomai. The other word, concision, katatomi. Peritomy. Both ending the same. So you have concision, circumcision, with the word right and right there. You know what circumcision is, right? This is the cutting of the foreskin. But in the concision, beware the concision, is that these people, they're not just cut, they mutilate. They mutilate. They damage. Now, of course, we're not talking about circumcision. They don't know how to perform and they mutilate. I don't know. He's talking about how those who mutilate the word of God. That's what Paul is telling them. Be careful of these people. Beware of dogs. They're really dogs. They don't have the faith. They cannot humble themselves. They're evil workers. Beware of them too. And then, beware of the concision.
When we look at the concision, let's go to one verse in Leviticus. Leviticus 21, verse 5. Here he's talking about Leviticus' law, the priesthood. It's about the holiness of the priest. Alright?
Just read from verse 1 so you have the understanding. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the priest, the son of Aaron, and say unto them, they shall not be defiled for the dead among his people. But for his kin that is near unto him, that is the mother, the father, the son, and daughters, and brother, and for his sister, a virgin that is nigh to him which hath no husband, for her he may be defiled. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. They shall not make banners upon his head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make cutting in their flesh. Now, that's what we want in verse 5. Here now, God told Moses regarding the son of Aaron, the priest. Alright, when somebody is dead, don't go near them, they'll be defiled. But their own sister, brother, that's okay. Okay, and also the priest cannot go in. This is not true for the priest alone. In fact, his whole Israel, they are told also not to do that. See what it says here? Okay, let me just go back again. verse 5. They shall not make banners upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cutting in their flesh. Now, the word cutting in the flesh means that they should not mutilate their body. You know, God doesn't want them. This verse is very interesting because I think it should apply to us as well. You know, you cannot say, oh, no, it's the law. Yeah, I know it's the law. Okay, but something do not change. Okay, as far we know, when Jesus came down the cross, the Bible said all those ordinance and, you know, law that is contrary to us, they are near on the cross. But there are certain laws that are not contrary. Like what? A woman is always a woman. Right? And who wants to know how to dress as a woman, right? That law don't change. Men should know how to dress. They don't change. But you see, when Moses gave them this law, they came out of Egypt. Right? What did they learn in Egypt? You know how the Egyptians make their hair? Yeah. You need a beard? Yeah. And then they cut their hair, and then they trim their hair like a bow like that. You know, the beard cut in a certain way. I mean, today you see how people trim their beard, you know. And then even women with their hair like a Tower of Babel. You have seen that, don't you? Huh? And all kinds of cut shape and all that thing. And then all those women, especially in America, I mean in England especially. England is a terrible country now. Those girls who ran up there, young teenage girls, with all those spike things sticking out. I just saw it on the video. Huh? What they're going to start? The piercing there, yeah, and there are four or five of them sticking out. Sharp one I hear. And then the nose is the ring there, and then the eyebrows, don't know how they take it with pins. And men also do that. That is mutilation. Right. You see, God doesn't want the people to copy the world. That's vanity. Huh? I mean, you know, hey, Brother Henry looks good with that bald head. But if he have some hair growing in the center, and he shove up here, and the center here look like a mohawk, what then are you trying to do? What do you want to look at the guy with a mohawk? You know, or just put your hand and saw all the crazy shapes and sizes and features. Be simple, and it's how we should be. Let's continue then. Okay, verse 3. For we are of the circumcision. Yeah, we are the one who is really the true circumcised. We're not only persisting in the circumcision, but also in the sense that as Christians, now remember these are Philippi, the Philippines, they are just a Gentile city, right? So Gentile don't get circumcised, right? Right, I know Jordan looks circumcised, no?
Brother.
And your brother. Adam was circumcised. You know, so when Paul said, for we are the circumcision, he's not talking that this believer in Philippi, that they are circumcised. No. He was talking about mutilation. But we are circumcised, we are circumcised in the heart. We are circumcised because of the word. Is that right? Right? So with the word, this is what we live by. The word of God circumcises us. You know what I mean? Okay. Did your character, this part is no good, circumcised, cut it off. Huh? That's how the word is applied to us. Okay, this is what the word of God teaches us. We walk this way, the way we should walk. But those are the circumcision. They will mutilate. They will mutilate the word. They say, no, this is the way it should be. This is the way it will be. And that's how Paul said, beware of these people. Like Philetus and Hymenaeus. Oh, the resurrection is over. They chop up the word and say, it's over. Like what we have in Singapore. Huh? Howard Judah, after he left the Sam's group, he believed that they are in the millennium, the rapture is over and they're in the millennium. And when they're in the millennium, so in the millennium, okay, now next revelation that comes in. Revelation so called, Brother Lawrence. Oh, since Christ is here in the millennium, we don't need to wash in. We don't need communion. Right. You call that revelation? That's mutilation. You just confuse the people. Paul said we are the circumcision which God, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. You see, those are the circumcision. There are those who, many of those that are what we call Jews that were converted. And they like to proselyte the people with the law.
I keep this law. You must be circumcised. You must do this. You know what I mean?
And they are even teaching some Gentiles. And some Gentile believers were even being influenced by them. So we don't want that. Paul said, be careful of those. You talk about confidence in the flesh. Look at what the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. And we close with it. Isaiah was one of the great prophets. I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eye has seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The day when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, man, I realized that, wow, I'm really a sinner. I need Christ. More so after 2 years of backslid, and I came back to the Lord. My, I cried my heart out and never cried before. Wow, man, I feel so. Even though I've repented for 2 hours, I feel that I'm not clean. You know what I mean? I still feel that I'm not even have myself really cleansed of all my sins. Because I just keep crying, and I feel that I'm still not enough. I'm not done enough. You know the feeling that you feel that you're not worth it. And this is what I was feeling. I'm a man of unclean lips. Woe is me, having now I seen the Lord. Yeah, some people saw the Lord. Ah. But here, Isaiah saw the Lord, and yet he feels, oh my. You know, when we are a sinner in the presence of the Lord, some people say, oh, I wish I would see the Lord. My goodness, if I ever see the Lord in a vision, if you are in the room and the Lord stood before you, I don't think you will be feeling, ah! You will be in a state where you look at yourself as very unclean. Really. You know, and that's what Isaiah feel. Let's go to another verse then. Job 42. 42 and verse 5 to 6. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Remember how Job was such a man? He loved the Lord, and Satan came and told the Lord, let me see whether he loves you. Job had never seen the Lord until all the trouble started. Then the three friends come and talk to him, all that, and he thought he knows and everything, but he was actually ignorant until the Lord came and talked to him. So then he realized, see, there's a whole lot of difference. Until you already experience, I mean, every one of us experience about our salvation, right? You feel that salvation is real? Your experience is real? I believe so, right? You believe so? Okay. I believe that if you keep walking close to the Lord, and as you keep walking close to the Lord, one day when the Lord appears in such a way, in any form, I don't know, whatever it would be, I have no idea. If the Lord comes in the presence in such a way to you, you will know what kind of person you are. You know, there were times I just go down on my knees and I just cried. Not because I'm sad, but for joy. I cried. Because whenever the Lord's presence is there, He opens Himself up to me and touches me. I could be in the room and just reading the word, and then suddenly you can feel the presence and start crying. And knowing that, oh, Lord, I'm unworthy. I'm a corrupt man. This flesh is no good. You know? And yet His presence is so real that you rejoice because He's there. At the same time, you cry because, wow, the contrast between a righteous God and a person who was a sinner saved by grace. Oh, that reality, I can tell you, brother and sister. Oh. You take used to. And I pray the Lord will give you that kind of experience. All you have to do is just keep walking with Him. Just keep walking. Don't let the world distract you. Let the joy of the Lord be in you. Whenever you're down and out, remember the word of God, what the Lord has taught you, and you rejoice. Just keep rejoicing. And you surely will grow in the grace of the Lord. Be content of what we have. This world is going to collapse. Huh? Be contented. And keep the joy that God has given us. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Truly, Lord, this mind of ours, Lord, cannot comprehend the depth of love that You have for us. Yet, Lord, that which we have, the mind of Christ, we know, Father, You've given us Christ Jesus. The very love agape, that spirit of eternal life. And all that Christ is to us. And that His mind being in us. Therefore, Father, let that mind that is in us, Father, always, Father, be upon us as we walk in the light. And however, Lord, You will reveal Yourself to us, let our minds constantly be focused upon the joy that is in Christ Jesus. Because whose mind, in the last moment of time, He knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, You know, Father, He is looking for some other ways that You may open up so that He need not die. But He remained silent, and He knew, Father, He knew Your word. He knew Your word that You have made the promise to Adam, to all those patriarchs, to Abraham. He knew that the promise that You have made to mankind, He must face the cross. His mind is already there, Father, fixed. That's the mind of Christ. For this was I born. For this reason was I born. And that's the reason, Lord, Father, He needs to go the way of Calvary. Not for Himself, but for us all. Because, Father, if He did not go that way of Calvary, we won't be here today. We won't be here. And there will be no salvation for mankind. But we thank You, Father. You did that. You hold Your peace. You did not talk to Him. And Your only begotten Son realized Your will must be done. And His mind is made up to fulfill that perfect will of the Lord. Father, if His mind be upon us, then Lord, help us focus on it as well. For to die, for me to live is Christ, for to die is gain.
And here we are, Father, today. We are prisoners of Jesus Christ. Let us all remember that we are His prisoner, and that we will walk the way that He wants us to walk. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your love. Continue to bless each and every one of us, Father. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.